Nia Bengalela, emi biso lo baba, len Jordana, lo moya o inquele. Amen. If we were in a church in Zimbabwe, that's how I would greet you at the beginning of what I have to say to you this morning. It means simply, I greet you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's typically the way ministers or speakers would start a church service in the country of Zimbabwe. I'd like to start with just a short passage of scripture. I keep out going back all through my years on the field. I keep going back to the sixth chapter of Isaiah. And verses 1 through 6 say this: In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face, with 2, he covered his feet, and with 2, he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I want to read just one more verse. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go." Well, my name is Ramona, and I have served with the International Mission Board as a missionary in Zimbabwe for the past 13 years. I'm fast approaching retirement next week, in fact. I'm on my final stateside assignment. But after more than 38 years total with the IMB, that's going to be a huge change for me. So I'd like to ask you to please just pray for me as I make that transition. I am, though, looking forward to having more time with my 6 grandchildren. That's something to really look forward to. I'd like to share with you just a little bit of my story. Of how God called me to the mission field. I actually started working at the then Foreign Mission Board in March of 1985, and I held several jobs during the next 25 years that I was on the Home Office staff. That sounds like a long time to you guys, I bet. It was very early on in my time there that a missionary from Zambia came to speak in our weekly chapel service. And he told the story of an experience that he had had on the field, in which a group of the people among whom he ministered invited him to go with them on a trip. So they all loaded up into some canoes and they started out across a huge lake. Well, this man-made lake had been formed when, built years early. When a dam had been built years earlier to dam the river to make a hydroelectric plant. So, when the land was flooded by the lake, this people group became separated, and some members were on one side of the lake and some were on the other side. And they had lost track of each other through the years because it was a huge lake and they couldn't go back and forth across it. So, this missionary was going with them to find their relatives. At least that's what they hoped to find. Nobody really knew what was going to be on the other side of the lake. So off they went, and I'm sure they dodged quite a few crocodiles and hippos along the way. When they got to the other side, though, they did indeed find those that they had been separated from, and there was a joyful reunion. Well, for some reason, that story just resonated with me, and I never forgot it. It seems like, when you go to a chapel service every week, you know, the speakers come and they go and you kind of think, oh, that was good. But then it kind of goes to the back of your mind. But I never forgot this one. And I found out later why God never let me forget it. So fast forward about 15 years. It's now 2001. And I have the opportunity to go on my very first overseas mission trip. I was part of a team of 12 people going to Zimbabwe, and which is, Zimbabwe is a landlocked country. It's about the size of Texas or maybe a little bigger in southern Africa. Well, part of our trip was spent in an area of Zimbabwe called Binga, which is on the shores of Lake Kariba. It's one of the largest man-made lakes in southern Africa. As we sat in the open air that first night that we were there, showing the Jesus film projected onto the side of a building, it suddenly dawned on me where I was. You see, Zambia and Zimbabwe share a border along the Zambezi River. And Lake Kariba was formed by the damming of the Zambezi River for a hydroelectric plant. And this was done back in the 1950s. So there I was, 15 years after hearing the story that this missionary told in chapel. And I've realized I'm sitting in that very place. I'm with the very people that he went with his people group to find. And, you know, it just almost floored me. I'm like, I'm here. This is it. I was here with the Tonga people of Zimbabwe who had been found by the Tonga people of Zambia. So isn't God awesome? He just works everything together. Everything is interwoven, every experience in our lives to bring about his plan for our lives. Well, that experience was the first inkling that I had that maybe God was calling me to go. But did I answer that call? Not right away. You see, at the time, I was a wife and a mother to three kids. And I honestly felt that my calling was to work at the IMB and to help to facilitate the sending of those whom God had called to go. But God had another plan. Over the next few years, I was able to return to Zimbabwe twice more on mission trips, and God really began to work in my heart. There were some pretty significant changes in my life during those years as well. My children were growing up, as children do, and soon we would become empty nesters. But then, in February of 2002, my husband passed away unexpectedly from a heart attack. Well, as I worked through my grief from losing my husband of 30 years, God was still nudging me, still telling me, I want you to go. I want you to go. So there came a time when I could no longer ignore that nudging. So then I started in with the excuses. I'm sure some of you have used the same ones. The first one was, I'm not qualified. I'm not equipped to be a missionary. I don't have what it takes. I would never be able to do what missionaries do. And then I thought, well, but I thought you had called me here to the home office. I thought you had called me to work here. And this was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And then the next one, but what about my kids? What will happen to my kids if I go overseas? I mean, they were all grown by this time. But, you know, I thought, what's going to happen with my kids and my grandkids by this time? I was already starting to have grandkids by this time. But then there came a day. I still remember it very clearly. It was on a Saturday afternoon. And I was sitting on my back porch swing, looking out across the woods behind my house. And I heard an audible voice inside my head. Have any of you ever had that to happen? I never had. That was the first time it had ever happened to me. And what I heard was this: Ramona, I have told you what I want you to do. Now, are you going to do it or are you not? Sometimes God just has to get blunt with us, doesn't he? To get our attention. Well, needless to say, I got up right then and went to my computer and sat down and started filling out the application for overseas service. Later on, some months later, while I was still in the application process for the IMB, I was still having doubts. You know, I kept thinking, why would God choose me? There are so many other people that are more qualified than I am. I can't do this. But then a dear friend, a missionary colleague actually, gave me this insight. And she said, I think God called you because he knew that you would say yes. So sometimes it just comes down to all we have to do is be willing to say yes. So may we all be like the prophet Isaiah when he said, here am I, send me. If I may, I'd like to tell you just one story of how answering that call of saying yes to God has brought about, hopefully, changed lives for the better. In my city in Zimbabwe, there is an upscale subdivision on the outskirts of town called Killarney. But if you drive out just past the end of the subdivision, the landscape changes. You know, one minute you're driving along a street with landscaped lawns and beautiful gardens and very nice houses. But then you cross over that last road and you're suddenly in the bush, which means you're in the country. You go just a little further down this dirt road, and you begin to see little shacks dotted here and there. Then you turn a corner, and you find yourself in the middle of the Killarney squatter camp. This camp is made up of families, over 100 of them, who were displaced in 2005 during what the government called Morimbashvina, which means drive out the trash. So during that time, the government came in with bulldozers and just bulldozed informal houses, unlicensed businesses, anything that wasn't sanctioned by the city, in an effort to send all of those people who were living and working in those places back to their rural homes, back to their villages. But instead of leaving, these families just squatted on unused land right outside the city. World Vision came in the next few years and helped some of them. But these more than 100 families were left behind. And you can only imagine the conditions that they live under. They have no electricity, no running water, no amenities of any kind. They have no land on which to grow a little crop or a garden to feed their families. They live in shacks made of whatever they can find. Some of them have made mud bricks to kind of build up a nice little house. Others of them are making do with pieces of sheet metal or pieces of plastic or sometimes even cardboard to put together a little shack so that they have some place to get out of the rain. Most of them don't have jobs, so even providing for their food for their families is a challenge. Well, I first went to Killarney in 2014. Zimbabwe at that time was in the middle of a huge drought. It had been going on for 3 years. And so famine was rife. Poverty was just getting worse and worse. I was able to get funding from Send Relief for a large countrywide food distribution project. And this was going to be carried out with the help of volunteers coming from the States. Well, a local pastor friend recommended that we include the Killarney camp as a distribution site during this food distribution. So over the 3 months of the project, we took food relief there 3 times. And a missionary friend who is an ophthalmologist also went out and held an eye camp at one of those food distributions. Well, by the third visit, God was leading me to do more. I offered to come and do a weekly Bible study for the ladies, which they seemed to be very receptive to. So that first Friday afternoon, over 50 women came, and even several men, which was unusual for that area. And so I thought, well, you know, that was an amazing number, but I thought, well, you know, they're just coming to check things out and see what's going on. Or maybe they thought I was going to bring them more food, and that's why they came. But all I had to offer them that day was spiritual food. But they came back the next week, and they came back the week after that, and they just kept coming week after week after week, and they seemed to be just soaking up God's word and really enjoying the time together that we had. Well, soon my pastor's wife started coming to do a kids program alongside the ladies' Bible study that I was leading. And so we were able to also then get the youth and the young adults from our church involved. So sometimes, you know, on Friday afternoons, that just became our special time. We'd load up. Sometimes we'd have two carfuls of people going out to Killarney to do these programs on Friday afternoons. God also made provision as part of this for eggs for the children through another Send Relief project that we had going on to help give them a little bit of protein in their diets. Well, things were going pretty well. You know, we were meeting every Friday. We were seeing some results. And then came COVID. Government restrictions on gatherings, even outdoors, meant that we could no longer hold our Friday afternoon programs, either for the children or for the adults. We were still able to deliver eggs for the children, but no other ministries were possible all during those long months. But finally, all those months of lockdowns and curfews came to an end. That first week we went back, we had lots of children. The children always come, but no ladies came. Same the second week and the third. So I was beginning to think that the ladies had just lost interest and that they were no longer interested in having the Bible study. But Ben Artwell, who is one of our most faithful helpers among the young adults, offered to just walk around and visit with some of the ladies to see where they were and to see if they would be interested in maybe coming back. Well, they all said yes. It's almost as if they were waiting to be invited to come back. And so we started the ladies' Bible study again that very next week. The first group was small, maybe 10 or 12 ladies, but they all seemed eager for the word. Well, that week, I just happened, and y'all know there's no such thing as just happened with God, right? But I just happened to share the story from Acts about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and talked about baptism and how the eunuch was baptized right there beside the road when he believed. I noticed some of the ladies whispering to each other off to one side. And so I thought, what's this about? So I asked them if any of them had a question. Their response was this. They looked at me and they said, "We want to be baptized." And I'm like, okay, let's do this. So, in the next few weeks, we held a baptism class for them. And then I think there might be a picture of it somewhere. We were able to set up a portable baptism pool right there in the camp, and we baptized four ladies right there. And a few weeks later, a month or so later, we baptized six more. And so we have 10 ladies who've been baptized so far. And it wasn't long until they started saying, "Well, why can't we have church?" So, I mean, how have you ever had a church plant to start that be that easy? People coming to you and wanting you to come and start a church for them. So, with the help of several local pastors and lay church leaders who came together to work out a rotation so that they could all go 1 week at a time, 1 week a month, the Killarney Baptist Church started meeting for weekly Sunday morning services in June of 2022. They now meet every Sunday, and last week they reported 22 adults and many children that attended that service. The Friday afternoons programs are still going strong as well for the children and for the ladies. So I was ready to give up. After COVID, I thought, okay, that's it. That was a good ministry while it lasted, but it's finished. But there's now a church in this squatter camp because Artwell didn't give up. And because we didn't give up on those ladies and we kept going, even when it was hard. Because we said yes when God called. Well, all this to say, each one of you has a calling as well. Maybe you're not called to overseas service, but maybe some of you are. But there's work to be done in your city and in your community, maybe even in your workplace or in your school. People everywhere need to hear about Jesus, and somebody has to tell them. Maybe you're called to pray. We had many intercessors for this work in Killarney, and they were instrumental in praying for this new church to be started. You may be called to pray for your family, or for your church, or for your community, or for your school. Maybe you're called to give to your local church or to local or international missions or to something else that furthers the kingdom of God. And just so you know, your gifts to the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering enable all of us as IMB missionaries to remain on the field and to do the work that God's called us to do to reach the nations with the gospel. Whatever your calling is, I just want to encourage you not to procrastinate and make excuses like I did, but to embrace your calling however God leads you. There may be someone here who's never accepted Jesus as Savior. So you're wondering, what's she talking about? What is all this about calling? If that's you and you'd like to find out more about God's wonderful gift of salvation, then please, I encourage you to speak to someone after the service. There are ministers here who would be happy to talk with you more about that. John 3:16 tells us that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth, if we say it out loud that Jesus is Lord, and if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Once again, if that's you, please talk with one of us today. May we pray. Father, I thank you so much for not giving up on me when I procrastinated on answering my call. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in Zimbabwe, and I thank you that you've allowed me to be a part of it for these last 13 years. Father, I pray now for those in this room that someone possibly who may be sensing a call, that you would just work in hearts to help us all to follow the calling that you have for us. And Lord, we just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, I mean, there were just some random pictures. That is the first baptism service that we held at Killarney.
You can click through it.
Okay.
I mean, we do it from the start.
Oh, and some of them are just, they don't, some of them I'll just kind of click through.
Feel free to click through it.
Okay. Elephants along the Zambezi River. This is one of our school programs. The blonde lady is Auntie Tammy. She's our local pastor's wife, and she's the one who runs the egg programs. And so we take eggs and give them to school children to help, and we go to school disadvantaged children, mostly in areas where there's a lot of poverty. But we take these eggs and we give them to the children. So that's what's going on here. This is our worship team at Bulawayo Baptist Church. This is some of our local young people, along with some volunteers that came out from the States. This is our young adult group at Bulawayo Baptist in our weekly Wednesday night meetings. Cheetahs. I had to put those in there. This was a family of cheetahs, the mother and three cubs. This is one of our trainings that we held for pastors and their wives. Of course, the baptism. These are the children at Killarney, and you can see some of the shacks in the background and see how they have put together their homes. This is also at Killarney. This was in the early days when we first started going. This is the youth, the young adults at Bulawayo Baptist. This is an interesting picture. This is the street market in Bulawayo in the city. And I was actually able to start a Bible study with some of the vendors in the street market. So we would go. I would go on Wednesday afternoons and we would sit in the market on the street and have a Bible study. And you can imagine some of the looks we got. People would stop to listen. It was really kind of cool. This is Killarney again, the children. And this is the second baptism service we had for the ladies at Killarney. This time we brought them into town to the church to have baptism. This is a typical rondavel, which is just a round hut that has a thatched roof. More of the worship team. I think I should have not put that in there. This is the church, Killarney Baptist Church, in one of their first meetings. And this is when we first started back the Bible study. I believe the young man sitting beside me, I believe that's Artwell. Another of the first baptism service. The Killarney kids. I put a lot of pictures in from Killarney. These are the chickens from the chicken project where we get the eggs. It's a lot of chickens. This is the Friday afternoon Bible study group at Killarney. This picture was taken the last week that I was there before I left to come to the States. And this is the kids that same day. We have some beautiful sunsets in southern in Africa. And that's it. Thank you.
I thought that maybe we ought to give you a